Good morning. Those songs are always so meaningful. Thinking about His Word being a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, we're stumbling in the dark without it. So this is a source of light, and may we be a source of light as well to this world around us. Then we were singing about, you know, Him being the potter and we're the clay. And I'm thinking, are we willing to be shaped and formed? Or do we put up a fight? Yeah, I guess I'm becoming more malleable. My younger years, I did put up a bit of a fight. You know, I let him shape me a little bit, you know, but I was still pretty sort of hardened. But then eventually he softened me, and he's shaping me more and more every day. And that's just a joy, becoming more and more like him. So may we be malleable. May we be soft. Maybe we be willing to be shaped by him, the master potter. Let us hear from him in his word.
Our first lesson this morning is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world, for if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Our second reading is from the third chapter of Philippians, verses 1 through 11. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Here ends the lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 9 through 19. And this is Jesus on the night of his betrayal. He's praying for and over the disciples right now as we join the reading. So he's praying for the disciples. I pray for them, the disciples. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I'll remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. I would excuse the children for children's church here. Lord, thank you for your word, which is a light, lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. May your word guide us. May it change us. May it just rearrange our priorities. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So John, again, writing to the people of Ephesus, but people everywhere. And this time he's talking about being in the world. There's this saying, a sentence you hear quite often, we are in the world but not of the world. Very true. That's not found directly in the Bible. But all three readings today address it. And if we put them together, we can summarize it. There we go, summarizing that sentence. That we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So John starts out, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All righty. So he's not talking about creation, you know, the world around us, the physical planet. That is something that we should love and something we should take care of. We need to take care of this world because it takes care of us. The way God has designed it to produce fruit in its season, to produce meat for us and everything else that we need, we have to be good stewards of the land. And the land and nature, it's sort of cool because when God designed the world originally, it was perfect. You know, the Garden of Eden type thing. The world was perfect. And nature still retains some of that. You know, man has become corrupted by sin. We have. But nature, in large part, still retains a lot of that perfection and a lot of that beauty. I was just talking to someone this morning about, you know, the solitude of sitting out in the deer stand. And just the beauty that surrounds you. The peace that you find there. And you might have a lot going on in your mind and stuff like that, a lot going on in your life, but you get those, you know, a couple precious hours of the sunset, you're just sitting out there and you become sort of one with the woods. And, you know, sometimes the deer show up in range and other times they almost come in your shooting lane but then change their mind and back out and stuff like that. It gives you a little excitement. But the peace and the serenity and the solitude that we can find there, it's a beautiful thing. It almost makes me want to go out and sit in the woods tonight, even though I've got both my deer already. But I could still go out there, maybe capture some of that solitude. It's a beautiful thing. Nature, the way the pieces of the puzzle all come together, every organism having its place to transfer pollen to something else, to feed something, to provide food for something, it's just this intricate network that sometimes we disrupt with, you know, bad consequences. Again, we need to steward it well. It's just amazing. You look at the DNA, even of the microbes and things like that, and how they all fit together. Again, everything having its purpose, except maybe mosquitoes and wood ticks. I'm still not sure about that. Could we still have a good world without those? Yeah, maybe add wasps to the list, too. I don't know. They must have a purpose somehow, and we have to trust God for that. So, yeah, loving the world and creation, that's a cool thing, right? But he's not talking about that. He's talking about the world that we are part of, the world that people have created. And that is definitely strayed from the intent. God's intent for what it should be, and humankind has taken it in other ways. So when we are a part of that world, it can definitely corrupt us. Now, we are in this world. We don't have a choice. We live on this planet Earth. There's no other habitable planets that we can reach right now. And while we're here, we're going to be in the midst of a society and a culture that does not always honor God. Again, we are in the world. But we are not caught up in those things. Maybe we have been in the past. You know, a lot of us perhaps have lived in other ways before we fully gave ourselves to Christ. But now, once you've given yourself to Him, you're no longer part of that world. You're a part of something better. You're a part of something eternal. You're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. You're going to have hope. You're going to have confidence. You're going to experience love and all these wonderful things, having given yourself to Christ. The old things no longer have a hold on you. They can call all they want, but we can now ignore them because we are a part of something better. And that's what Paul's going to stress here in a bit too, that priority shift, so part of something better. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father but from the world. What he has and what he does, right? We have this culture of self, this meism, I call it. we tend to be meistic if we follow the ways of this world. Well, I've got this fancy car, and I've got this nice house, and I've got this brand new thing. It's not about that. It's not about that. Look at the model of Jesus. Look at Paul. They're wandering through the Mideast without a fancy car or house. Okay, without a fancy donkey or house. Let's go back to the time, right? But just the bare minimal possessions. And God is providing. And they are changing the world as a result. It's amazing the ways in which God provides for them. I can't imagine setting out on a journey like that not bringing a lot of stuff along. I do pack. I'm a minimalist when it comes to packing, having been infantry. You know, if you're going to carry it, you're not going to pack a whole lot. My daughter, on the other hand, sometimes when we go on even a short trip, you know, it's just lots of stuff. Okay, she's helping with the Sunday school right now, so okay. But yeah, these people totally dependent on God, that He's going to provide everything they need. I'd be thinking about, well, okay, where am I going to sleep tonight? Where am I going to get the food and everything like that? No, God will provide. And He did. Still does. We've been listening to sort of a biographical account of this lady over in Uganda. She was raised in the United States, and she had everything she could want, you know, lived in a good family, they had a good income, and she was set to go to college and all these things. And she just felt this calling to go to Africa, and she followed it. And now, as we're about halfway through the book, she's got 15 kids that she's taking care of in her house, orphans that she's providing for. And she's not sure how it's going to work. How can I take in one more? Another one appears on the doorstep, and she takes them in. How am I going to get food? It appears. It works. She brought her finances to one of the mission people and said, well, here's the number of kids we got. Here's the income we got. And the person looked at it and said, no, this is impossible. This can't work. It does. Somehow, God always provides. So she is totally dependent on Him. It's a beautiful thing. So we should not get caught up in this meism, this trying to accumulate possessions and things like that. Again, instead of accumulating, we should be giving of ourselves and giving of what we have to others. That was Jesus right there, right? Always giving to others. Giving of His time, giving of His attention, giving the healing. Spending time with them, you know. There's people out there right now that just simply need someone to sit with them. Maybe to listen to them. Does that cost us anything? Maybe a little time out of our day. But it means the world to them. Stop over at the nursing home sometime. You know, if the opportunity to do that. Met a lady volunteering at the hospitals up there the other day, seen Marvel. I see this lady from Holly Ridge. She's on a motorized scooter because she can't walk or anything like that. But twice a week, she goes over there and volunteers just to, hey, visit people. So she had a list of people that she was going to go visit. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful heart. And Joyce, hey, thanks for doing that. Alrighty. So again, giving of ourselves, and that gets us away from the meism. When we start to give to others, when we make ourselves available to others. Especially maybe those that, you know, don't have much or something like that. It's a noble thing. It's a wonderful thing. Alrighty, he ends with verse 17, then the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So putting it back in perspective, the world and its desires pass away. You know, the desires can be pretty strong sometimes in this world. We have desires for things. They're temporary. This world seems like everything to us. It's temporary. The world and its desires pass away. But the man or woman who does the will of God, lives forever. Yeah, keep your hearts and minds on things above. This world's just temporary. That can be a scary thought, or else sometimes you can take comfort in that too, that, hey, this is just temporary. Okay, it's going to pass away. Alrighty. Well, Paul picks up this same theme that John does here. Paul and John both out there spreading the gospel, doing their thing. Peter's doing it too. We had the three big missionaries and many others at that time. But Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, talks about priorities and this world versus what's really important, and how he came to that realization that he is, again, in this world, but set apart, not of this world, having given his life to Christ. So in the world, but not of it. So he's writing to the Jews here, and the people of Philippi, of course. And he's talking about watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, those that are still expecting circumcision, which the Jerusalem council said was no longer necessary. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus. It's about us, not about the act, not about the ritual, not about the tradition. And we put no confidence in the flesh. We don't put confidence in what we have built up. Maybe we've built up a wonderful career, and that's great, as long as you're serving others with it and serving God with it. But we don't put our confidence in our possessions and who we are and what we have. And he says, if anyone thinks he has a reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, okay? Because he was all about this in the past. Remember who Paul was. He was out there persecuting Christians, and he had credentials. He had a resume. And Swede read it this morning here, this resume that he had accumulated before he had the encounter with Jesus that changed his whole life and reset his priorities. So yeah, he says, well, if you want to get into a bragging match, I could outdo you on this one, okay? If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, check. You know, loyal Jew. Of the people of Israel, check. Of the tribe of Benjamin, he could trace his lineage back to the exact tribe that he's a part of. A Hebrew of Hebrews, okay, that he followed the letter of the law. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. So, I mean, zealous for following the law and overboard on it. Again, God's laws are there, but the Pharisees had their own laws that kept them from even getting close to breaking God's laws. God said, you know, rest on the Sabbath. They come up with laws that you can only go a certain number of steps on the Sabbath, because that way you're not even getting close to breaking God's laws. So they had these rituals and traditions that were everything to them. And he checked every one of those. He's saying, yes, I was a Pharisee among Pharisees. As for zeal persecuting the church, if anybody spoke out against Judaism or claimed a different religion, as Jesus did, he persecuted them zealously again. Very efficient, very thorough, very dedicated. And I believe that's what God saw in this guy named Saul. He said, wow, look how dedicated he is. Let's just rearrange his priorities. Let's give him an encounter with Christ. Now we're going to use that dedication. We're going to use that zeal for great purposes, to tell everybody that the true Messiah has already come. So persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Okay, so again, this resume, these credentials that he had amassed, that he had accumulated, that he had built up, was all about him and doing the right thing, being the ultimate Jew. But all of them replaced. This was his pride. This is who he was. This was him. And now he considers it rubbish. He considers it trash. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider all this that I built up, everything, a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. So all this stuff that he had worked for, all this stuff that he had built up, that accumulated, it's worthless. He had a lot, okay? You think of someone that's a self-made millionaire, okay? This is what we're looking at in today's, you know, society, perhaps. He said, this is all nothing compared to knowing Christ. That was so much more important to him. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He gave up this whole lifestyle, lost it all. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ to be found in him. Not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. They thought they could be righteous by following the law. They thought they could have self-righteousness. No, we're not good enough. We cannot have that. It's what Jesus has done. We can't earn it. We can't build it up. We can't accumulate it. We simply accept what he's done for us. It's that easy. And this is of more importance. He goes on, I want to know Christ. Not just know about him, but to know him. Big difference. Sunday school right now, learning a little bit about God, learning about Jesus, and hopefully learning to know him. Not just know about him. We can know all the stories, but if you don't know him, you're missing out. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. There's power in that. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So he's in the world, but he has given up the ways of the world. He's no longer of the world. He's left all that behind. Everything he had accumulated, everything he built up, and stepped out just in faith, again, traveling with very little, knowing that God will provide. And having this mission in him, this burning in him to share the gospel, to tell others that the Messiah has come. And we pray that for Israel too, as they are, you know, still under attack. We know that God stands with Israel. There is a covenant there, still in effect. There is no expiration date on that. We need to stand with Israel as well. But we pray that they will come to realize that the Messiah has already come. They're waiting. They're expecting. Maybe some, you know, aren't that strong in the faith, but those devout Jews are still waiting for Messiah, who has already come. So we, Lord, we pray that they will see that truth. All right, so being in the world but not of it, finally Jesus follows up with that in the gospel today as well. He's talking to his disciples. He knows his time is short. He says, you know, this is it. I'm about out of here, but I'm concerned for my disciples. I'm concerned. He's asking God to watch out for them. Verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And he wants them to be protected. Follows up in verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Keep them safe and keep them one. That's his desire for the disciples, to keep them safe. Jesus has been watching out for them. He's about to depart. Now he's going to leave the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, with them. And God's protection is going to be over them, each one of them, as they bring the gospel to various places. But keep them safe and keep them one. One in spirit, unity in spirit. Because pretty soon they're going to be scattered. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. By the name or the power and authority. Again, think of the name as being the power and authority that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture will be fulfilled. Here he's talking about Judas, of course. Psalm 41:9 predicts this. If we turn back to that, that's where the prophecy took place. David writes in Psalm 41, verse 9. Let me get back there. Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And Jesus knew that earlier in John when they're sharing that Last Supper. The one who is eating the bread with me will betray me. And he said, it's Judas. So yeah, it was prophesied, had to happen. Again, prophecies, there's thousands of them in the Bible. Many have already happened. The rest will happen. No two ways about it. They're going to. So these disciples then were spread throughout. They say Thomas went as far as India. Others went into Africa. Some went into the Mediterranean regions, bringing the gospel and the message with them. Under God's protection and provision once again. They are sent out into the world. But they are not of the world. Again, they belong to Jesus. And that is us as well, when we have given ourselves to him. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Now, God could have just rescued them from the world, absolutely. But there's work to be done. The gospel has to be spread. The truth has to be told. And we still have work to do as well. Someday we will be pulled out of this world. Now, even after we die or when Jesus comes again, it's going to happen. And again, we can look forward to that as believers. There is going to be meaning on that day. It's going to be the worst day of their life. But for us, it's going to be the best. And I don't want that to happen to anybody. I wish that all would believe. But we still have that work to do. And his disciples, just like us, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We are no longer a part of this world, and the things that they value, the things that they chase after, the priorities that they have, our priorities have been changed, just like Paul's. We are part of something better. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. To sanctify is to set apart as holy. He's asking that the disciples be sanctified. As he sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. He's sending them out. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We are also sent out into this world. We are a part of it. Again, we live on planet Earth. We don't have any choice on that. We are a part of this geographic world, but we are not a part of what this world considers important, the chasing after all these other things. We can get by on what God provides, and we can have so much more. Again, look at Paul. He had built up all this stuff, and he said, oh, that's all trash compared to just simply knowing Christ and following him. May that be our priority as well. And may we, like the disciples, carry the message to others, because time is getting short. Every day is a day closer. Time is getting short. And there are people out there that have not been reached, people all around us, even in our neighborhoods, who maybe have heard about this, but they have not accepted it. It's our prayer that they would. So, Lord, give us the courage. Make us bold in the faith to share with others in a concerned way, not a condemning way, but in a concerned way, that we can turn more people to you, Lord, and show them what is possible through you, how you are so much more important than anything else in this world. Help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.